You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl.
The best part of that was DJ, did Curtis say he was trying to record that at Radio Row and was getting a lot of weird looks from people? Love it. Okay. It is the weekly game that we play during the football season where we look at the upcoming matchup and then Tom and Jake will face off and answer trivia.
Question?
Yes.
Can we continue to do this somehow through the off season with themed game shows depending on what's going on that week?
Sure.
We'll figure it out. We'll play it. We'll play it by week.
Okay.
We'll see.
We might not need it every week, but this is a good game. We can have draft.
All right.
Okay. Who's going first?
I am.
Okay. Tom, name the highest scoring team in Super Bowl history. This is a like a single Super Bowl
single
appearance.
Single Super Bowl,
the most
one game.
Scored.
I'm going to say that's the 49ers in 89 with 55.
It is. The 49ers. Super Bowl 24, 55-10 win over the Broncos with Joe Montana as MVP. Mm-hmm. Jake, name the lowest scoring team in Super Bowl history.
The lowest scoring team in Super Bowl history. We go with the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes.
Boom!
Got it. That was obviously 2018. Tom,
yeah.
What was the last Super Bowl to be played in Miami?
The last Super Bowl to be played in Miami.
You can just name the teams.
Okay. 16. I'm going to say it was 12. Nah. I'm going to say it was the Saints and the Colts.
It was!
Yeah!
You did it!
I had to count back a little to get to that one.
Jake! Which yes. Super Bowl 54 quarterback had the best completion percentage in the regular season this year? It's between Garoppolo and Mahomes.
Okay.
You're just asking which is the better completion
percentage?
Who had the better completion percentage?
Between Garoppolo and Mahomes during the regular season.
Can it be that obvious?
I don't know.
He looks at me.
Can it be that?
I'm covering my face.
Obvious. I am going to say it is Jimmy G.
It is Jimmy G.
Yes! Yay!
Jimmy G completed 69.1% of his passes this year.
I was not going to get fooled.
Patrick Mahomes was 65.9%.
That would have been a question normally I would have complained about, but not today.
Not today, because Tom's not complaining today.
Nope,
because Tom did not get the question.
Tom, how many touchdowns does Jimmy G have in this postseason?
Who the heck did they even play in that second game? Okay, he has... Oh, man, he's got a...
It would have been against the Vikings
And the Packers, yeah.
So in both
games... I don't know, 10?
Touchdowns?
10?
Oh, touchdown passes?
Touchdown passes.
Between the we blew them out in the Minnesota game. That was like 27. I don't know. Four?
No.
Zero?
One. Oh. He has one. Patrick Mahomes has eight.
Do you know that?
Touchdowns
yes.
to one interception.
You knew he had one?
I would have guessed zero because I know he got criticism for having so few passing attempts. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Jake.
Yes.
Between the 49ers and Chiefs, which team led the NFL in first down production this year? This is from an AP article that just came out.
Okay. Oh, this is hard because...
Yeah, but you're guessing 50-50.
I know, but I want
to
get it right.
I had to come up with a number out of nowhere. See, I'm complaining.
You said you weren't going to do
know,
that,
I
Tom.
Did say
you
that,
just got to guess. Okay, but
okay.
Who was more productive on first down this year, the 49ers or Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Tied it up!
Gosh!
No, Jake, the 49ers were. They were averaging 6.65 yards per play on first down in the regular season. A couple of these are from Associated
my
Press.
Gut.
Okay.
Dang it.
Tom, true or false? Patrick Mahomes has never lost a game by more than 8 points in his career.
False. Really?
He has never lost a game by more than 8 points in his entire career. The last time the Chiefs lost a game by more than 8 points was with Alex Smith at quarterback in 2017. Jimmy G has lost by more than 8 points only once. So,
okay, I know that's a true or false question, so it's not an unfair question. I'm just curious. Would you expect anybody to know that?
I would expect... I mean, you can just guess. I think I would expect someone to use context clues.
Right. If he's asking the question, then it might be true.
Or just that, you know, he's on a team that scores a ton of points.
Yeah.
He has a great career. They've won a lot.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
And he hasn't been in the league for very long.
True.
Okay.
True.
True. Jake, true or false? No team scored more rushing touchdowns than the 49ers this season.
What's the matter, Heaps?
The only one that I feel can compete with them is the Baltimore Ravens. So do I believe it was the Niners or the Ravens? And I am going to go with the 49ers were number one in rushing touchdowns. So I'm saying that's true.
Yes!
They were. I thought you might say the Ravens. The 49ers, though, actually led the league with 23 rushing touchdowns. Baltimore was obviously the team's leading rushing team with Lamar Jackson, obviously.
Yeah.
Tom.
How many more do we have here? He's up 3-2.
Two.
Two more.
Two
okay.
And a wild card.
Yep.
Okay, Tom. Of Super Bowl winners, so don't count teams that haven't been to a Super Bowl.
Okay.
So of all teams that have won a Super Bowl, only one team has a longer Super Bowl drought than the Kansas City Chiefs. Which team is it? I believe between champions.
Teams that
between
have made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so between teams that have won the Super Bowl, only one team has a longer drought than Kansas City.
Hold on a second. Of teams that have won it or been to the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm not sure.
Because there's a that changes my guess slightly.
It does? Okay,
yeah.
I'll let you have two guesses based on either premise and see if you get it
okay,
right.
Longer Super Bowl drought of teams that have been.
Yes.
I'm going to say is the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, what about of teams that have won?
Teams that have won?
I think it's been to.
Hold on a second. Of teams that have won. Super Bowl, yeah, been to.
This would make sense if it's that.
How about Cincinnati?
The Jets.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
New York Jets.
Yeah.
51 years. Okay, Jake.
That's good.
Yes.
True or false? Kyle Shanahan's appearance in this Super Bowl will mark the first father-son appearance in a Super Bowl. Or will complete the first father-son to appear in separate Super Bowls.
As head coaches.
Yes.
True.
Yes. Okay. We have an extra question.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, do you want it?
Yes.
Okay.
Obviously.
Do you tie if you get it right?
No.
Okay.
No, but I want it anyway.
Okay.
Handing participation trophies here.
True or false, Tom, for the loss. Jimmy G had more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes in the 2019 season.
True.
Yes, Tom, you got it! You lost the game!
You know how I knew that? Because I got the Patrick Mahomes touchdown question wrong last week.
Ah.
It was 26, right? And Garoppolo had one more, I think.
27.
Yeah.
You did it!
Yay!
You did it!
Yay for Tommy!
Yay!
There we go. Way
Jake
to finish strong, Tom.
Jake
and
won.
I won!
Jake won.
Yes!
No, this is one of those instances where it's about the loser.
No.
No one will remember that Jake won this.
That's
They'll
right.
only remember that Tom really had a moral victory at the end.
I finished out the football season strong, and I finished with a victory on top, Super Bowl week. Yes.
But we're going to keep playing.
Yeah, we'll
play. But you're right. You got
the end of the football season.
So what? Hey, by the way, I just saw a funny tweet here before we get to four downs. Do you know anybody who doesn't know the two teams involved in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. That's a forgivable offense, right?
Yeah.
That's not something that everybody has to know.
No,
I would be okay. If you're watching the game, if you're going to watch the game.
Who's involved?
Yeah, I mean, hey, you go and you learn and you hang out and have fun. I'm not mad at you for that.
You know what? There have been years where I've completely forgotten who's going to be in the NCAA championship, like the football championship? Like LSU, who'd they beat this year? Clemson?
Yeah.
See, I already forgot. It was only a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you remembered. You just
I know, but
yourself.
I had to think about it for a second.
Yeah.
All right. Four downs.
This is Four Down Territory.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
What stat, Jake, jumped out at you when you were prepping for the Super Bowl this weekend? Wait a minute. You prepped for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, when we do this show.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant for reasons other than this show.
Like he's prepping, like you never know when you're going to get the call.
He's got the notebook out, like, you know, as he's sitting there.
Yeah, get other opportunities to talk on different stations or whatever.
Okay.
You're like, hey, you know, you're looking up and trying to prep for this for these two teams and the matchups and all that. But the one stat that really jumped out to me, and we talked about Kyle Shanahan and how great of a play caller he is. One of the ways that I think that you can really determine or see is that you've got three different running backs that have all been able to essentially get theirs at different points of the season and have successful games. The stat that jumps out to me is that the San Francisco 49ers, they average three yards per rush attempt before contact. Think about that. 3 yards per rush attempt before contact is even happening. That means that you are creating wide open running lanes, and it's not simply because they have a dominating offensive line. That's not really the case here. As you look at the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts, they have dominating physical offensive linemen. Kyle Shanahan, although they've been a run-first offense, they have been very creative in the way that they have been running, and it has taken the league by storm in a sense that they cannot figure out, defenses cannot figure out how to stop them. And if you're getting 3 yards before contact is even taking place, that is unbelievable. That is an unbelievable stat to me.
Second down. Stacey, why do you think the Chiefs are going to win this game?
So I keep telling you guys that I'm really surprised that both of you are in a consensus pick with what feels like most of the office that the 49ers are going to win. Because Patrick Mahomes is having, I think, the best postseason of any quarterback in the playoffs right now. And I think it's pretty consistent with what he's shown people he's able to do through regular seasons. And I have no doubt that he'll be able to at least replicate that kind of production in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. So he has the highest passer rating, 131.5. He has the most pass attempts behind only Deshaun Watson, completing 65% of his passes, has 8 touchdowns to just 1 interception. He has been on fire this postseason. Not only that, but he's a good quarterback under third down. He's good under pressure. Remember when we went over that Dominique Foxworth article for the Undefeated when he looked at Patrick Mahomes' quarterback rating with essentially not in play action, so with a lot of pressure versus without. And Patrick Mahomes actually plays better not in play action. He plays better when guys are kind of in his face and when the pass rush is fast because they're not fooled by a run. So I really think that this is going to be a different kind of story. This isn't a typical Peyton Manning, statuesque, standing in the pocket kind of quarterback back there against a tough pass rush. This is a guy that can make things happen, and I am very curious to see what he'll do against this defensive line.
Third down. Who's the offensive X factor for both the 49ers and the Chiefs?
To me, the offensive X factor for both teams is, for the 49ers, a very obvious one is going to be George Kittle. George Kittle, to me, is a guy that if they can get him going and involved in their passing game, it will be very, very hard for the Kansas City Chiefs to stop the 49ers, because at that point, now you have the ability with your running game married with your quick game and play action where George Kittle can beat you in a number of different ways. He's the guy to me that the Kansas City Chiefs should take priority number one in trying to stop outside of the running game. And then on the flip side of that, for the Kansas City Chiefs offensively, the guy that you have to slow down is going to be Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill can get over the top. He's a guy that is a game breaker in terms of his ability to take small intermediate passes and take them to the house. So to me, those two guys for both teams are the X factors. If they can get going, their offenses are going to be very successful and will lead to a high scoring affair.
Fourth down. By the way, Tyreek Hill is one of those guys that makes every NFL fan think, why couldn't we get that guy?
He's him and him and Hardman are guys that when you watch on tape, you have to look at yourself and like, man, am I hitting the fast forward button
right.
on this? Like it, instantly when the ball touches their hand, they move at a different pace than everybody else on the field. It's incredible.
They haven't raced me yet.
not down the hall.
So not everyone else, Jake.
We'll get this set up as you know in the offseason when they have more time on their hands.
What matchups are you specifically going to be watching in the Super Bowl?
The match we've already talked about this at the beginning of the show, but the one matchup that I will be very much looking forward to is how the San Francisco defensive line fares against the Kansas City offensive line. We've talked about their ferocious pass rush with the 49ers and the talent that they have up front, but the Kansas City Chiefs have the ability to offset that with a tremendous pass-blocking unit. So which unit is eventually going to give in and get the edge over the other? That, to me, will be very, very interesting to watch. And then the other matchup that I will be excited to watch is Richard Sherman versus Travis Kelce. And, you know, you say, Jake, well, Richard Sherman's a corner, Travis Kelce's a tight end. Why isn't he guarding Tyreek Hill or Hardman or any of those guys? To me, Travis Kelce is the security blanket and the guy that gets everything started on that offense and for Patrick Mahomes. When things get tough, when they need a big play, they go to Travis Kelce to move the sticks. And I think it would be very smart of Robert Saleh and Richard Sherman to have him locked up one-on-one against Travis Kelce for the majority of the game. If they could take away Kelce, I think that's a huge missing piece to the Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Before we move on here to something else, I want to go back on one of my predictions from yesterday. I have until Sunday to, you know, go back and forth on predictions, I think, right?
No, you have to make it.
You have to
make it today.
By the end of the day, excuse me.
You have to get your prediction tattooed on yourself,
and
that's
end
it
of the show, not tattooed. The day, not the day. This show
by 3 p.m.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
3 o'clock.
Yes,
or
2:53.
By the way, our playoff coverage is brought to you by Washington Farm Bureau Healthcare. I want to shoot a trivia question back your way real quick.
Me?
Okay. I just happen to have this Wikipedia page.
No problem. I already know the answer. Probably.
Okay. Other than the Patriots,
the Rams.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Which two teams have the most Super Bowl appearances?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
One. That's one. Can you name how many they have?
Six.
They've won six. They've got 8 total.
Oh, okay. Appearances? It's not Buffalo, is it?
It's not Buffalo.
49ers?
No.
No? So you said
Packers.
Nope.
Chiefs.
Cowboys.
Nope.
No, not
yes.
the Chiefs.
Dang
Cowboys.
It!
Dang
Steelers
it!
Steelers and Cowboys.
I'm not giving him full credit because he got it on like the 6th guess.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
easy.
I got mine
easy
on the first
there, buddy.
Guess.
Yeah.
Just still mad that you lost in our Super Bowl.
Really
Super Bowl.
Not. Tom, I've had so many people texting
are.
In
yeah.
on the Coors Light text line to defend you.
Really?
And I would just like to say to all of them, Tom chose to go first. Those questions could have easily gone to Jake.
Correct.
Oh, so it
completely
was going
random.
To, it was going to go in a certain order depending on who
yeah.
went first.
Yeah, I read just in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Do you guys know what the total record is between the NFC and AFC teams?
Who has more Super Bowls?
Wins.
Or what
the record is.
Oh, no.
You said you and Salk, as you were reminiscing on your younger years of mm-hmm. watching the Super Bowl, when you guys were watching TV, you know, on the grainy, you know, black and white TV.
Yep.
Yep. That's
we got a color TV for Christmas.
The AFC really struggled. So I'm going to say the NFC has the winning record.
I'm going to say NFC without an explanation.
Right, but what's the record?
I don't know.
I don't know what the record is.
The total's 53.
Okay, so
you mean between the two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, obviously. That was a dumb question.
No, between the other conference.
I know. I was thinking we're at Super Bowl 54, Stacey. What are you doing?
I'll say the NFC has 35 wins, and that'll put the AFC at however many losses.
Okay.
I'm going to say the NFC has 34 wins.
Whoa, going out on a limb,
yes.
Stacey.
Am I right?
No.
I said 36.
The NFC currently leads
41.
27-26.
Wow.
I don't even know what the numbers I threw out made no sense.
The Patriots have skewed that number.
Yeah. Right, but again, context clues. Why would I ask that question unless there were a reason?
More
it's
split.
Only one more.
Yeah.
See? That's how it works here. Okay. By the way, when I said I was going to go back on something, because yesterday I said that this Super Bowl could mirror what we saw in Super Bowl 48 with the Seahawks blowing out this all-time great offense. I read to Salk before that Mahomes has scored 31, 31, 51, and 35 points in his four career playoff games. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a guy that scored that many points in every single game he's played is going to get blown out.
Yeah.
I think I'm still going to pick the 49ers to win, but it's not going to be 50 to 20, that type of thing. So by the end of the show, when we actually do make our picks, I'll have something a little bit more hard and fast. But yeah, with the guy who scored that many points, I just don't think that's going to happen. Do you still think that San Francisco is going to win?
I still believe that San Francisco will win.
But by more than a touchdown?
I don't know about more than a touchdown.
By more than an octopus?
San Francisco's, I think the big question is Kansas City's defense, to me.
Yeah, I would say, gosh, I really look at it and say that the San Francisco 49ers, if they win this game, to me, it will be by 10. It'll be by 10.
If they're going to win.
If they're going to win, they're going to win by 10.
If Andy Reid and the Chiefs win, will you wear a Hawaiian shirt every day for 2 weeks?
No.
Why? What about just one Hawaiian shirt and just wear the same one?
Wait, I get to wear the same clothes every day for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I don't have to think about what I have to wear.
Done.
Perfect. Take the guessing out of it.
Can you guys?
Do you have a Hawaiian shirt?
No. You got to get me one.
Okay.
Can you guys name the four teams that have never made the Super Bowl?
Have the Jaguars.
One.
The I was going to guess a more recent team, but the Titans have been there.
They've been there once, yeah.
Texans?
That's two.
Whew!
Nice.
Woo!
Killing it.
I'm just trying to think of newer franchises.
Just think about two pathetic teams.
Oh. Two pathetic teams?
Historically.
Not the Jets. I mean,
the Bengals have been there.
They've been there twice.
And Browns.
That's three.
Oh, yeah! I got three out of four! Okay. I'm not looking at the text line. I'm not looking at the text line. I'm not looking at the text line. Someone texted
Miami, me. Miami Dolphins have gotten there.
They've won a handful.
Yes, they have.
Before we Detroit get to, Lions. To the halftime Detroit show, Lions. The answer is the Detroit Lions.
Oh!
The halftime show's next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the halftime show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The halftime show, it's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
What is it with this Heaps fella?
He likes to be mysterious.
You know what, though? It's okay, because...
Well, now it's another bet. Coors Light text line, 710-710. When will Jake walk in the door?
1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
Let us know. The closest to the time wins nothing.
Wins nothing.
Wins nothing, but you win? Okay.
All right, Andy Reid's legacy. Have we seen this before? Look... I've gone back and forth on this. If Andy Reid doesn't win this game, might he never get back there? The calm, reasonable answer is yes, he will. He's only 61 years old.
Right.
He's got Patrick Mahomes. If you're going to say that Patrick Mahomes will get back, then you've got to say that Andy Reid will get back because they're probably going to be paired together.
Yeah.
Unless, like Salk brought up when he was in here, there is that occasional time where the organization will fire a guy who's done a ton of winning because he can't get over the hump. And they say, you know what? We've got this quarterback. We've got this loaded team. We need somebody who's going to do a better job with that team.
I do think you have to think that Patrick Mahomes is in line for a contract extension. It might make that bargaining a little easier if he knows that a head coach who he likes and who trusts him, they have a good relationship, is there and will be there coaching him for that next kind of window of his contract. So I would be surprised to see the Chiefs fire Andy Reid if they lose. He's still been incredibly successful. I know you're not saying right away, but they yeah. might reach a level of frustration with, like, we need someone that can get us there. What I worry about more is just how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl. How hard it is. You can be the best team in the league that year. How many years have we been watching the NFL and a team that we thought was the best team in the league? This year's Baltimore Ravens. Everyone thought they would make it to the Super Bowl, and they're out in the divisional round.
Exactly.
It's so hard to get there, even if you have all the right tools.
And you have a bye, and you know, you have probably the MVP of the league.
Yep.
Now, they should get back there. If Lamar plays the rest of his career or most years like he played this year, I'd be pretty surprised. I think that they ran into a team in Tennessee that they just did not expect anything from.
I agree. Well, and the greatest weakness paired up with Tennessee's greatest strength. Derrick Henry played lights out. I would more expect Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens to be able to replicate their offense than I would for Derrick Henry to rush for 180 yards or more in consecutive games.
Next. 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
Congratulations. If you had 133.30, you were correct.
You know what, though? I know what Jake was doing. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's more than okay, actually. Don't worry about it.
Your oatmeal smells good.
Thank you.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because we're about to go to this topic here with Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com, who came on with Danny and Gallant and said that he thinks maybe the Seahawks need a coaching change at offensive coordinator here. Before I play the bite, do we in Seattle put too much stock into what the national perception is? Sometimes when we do these types of topics, it makes me cringe a little. Like, we're the ones who know what's going on. What do I care what Greg Rosenthal or whoever, or, you know, Dominique Foxworth, what do I care what they think?
Sometimes I think their perception might be more representative of how the full of the NFL audience feels, you know? And first of all, I think that perceptions about teams are always a season or two behind. Mm. And I think that most people look at the strength of Seattle. They see Russell Wilson, and then they wonder why he's not passing more. And immediately you think of an offensive coordinator. And I think that that is a perception that is more common outside of Seattle and commonly held outside of Seattle.
Right. And when you're watching it from a national perspective on that and you just get snapshots of this team, you can think that way. But also, there's other ways of going about it. And I'm not saying Greg Rosenthal is lazy, but another approach can be you can look at it and say, what is the Seattle market saying, right? What is the overall market saying from a social media aspect, or what articles are being written and what are the critiques? And you can pull from that aspect of it too. And I look at it, I just think it's a ridiculous notion after all of the success that Brian Schottenheimer has had in 2 years with what he has been charged to accomplish. And people look at that and may hear that statement. They go, Jake, what are you talking about? He's not innovative enough. He's not cutting edge enough. But that's not what he was asked to do. He was hired by Pete Carroll to first establish the run. 2018, guess what? He did that. They were the number one rushing attack. And Russell Wilson threw for 35 touchdowns. In 2019, they actually start improving as an offense and become a top 10 type of offense amongst almost every single category. Russell Wilson throws for over 4,000 yards. He's playing at a very elite level. He can get more on his plate, but ultimately they are improving. And I think Schottenheimer, with what he has been charged to do by Pete Carroll, I think he's been making the most out of this situation and will continue to do so. I have to believe that after 2 years of watching him direct this offense.
All right, here's the soundbite.
Yeah, I hate, killing a coach and asking for a change, because obviously Brian Schottenheimer knows, more about football than I ever will. But watching Russell Wilson in an offense that to me is a 1980s, 1990s, old school type of offense just seems like a waste of resources, for lack of a better word. And they can be efficient at times, and they had their moments in the 2019 season. But I think when you have a pretty middling defense, and unless they get a big time infusion of talent in Seattle, I think they're going to stay a middling defense.
Did you hear how when he said 80s and 90s, he almost sounded
with
like
disdain.
He was yawning? I thought he sounded like he was almost yawning. Like, oh, 80s and 90s offense.
The 80s and 90s were amazing.
Yes, they were.
Stacey, you were only in the 80s for 1 year.
Six months. And it was great.
It was.
89 was a great year. A lot of things happened.
The back half of 89.
Yeah.
This last 6 months.
Best year of the 80s.
The one thing that stood out to me that I hadn't heard the first time when we listened to that was he said, at times, that offense was good. And I think a critique that you can look at this group, and you can point to injuries, you can point to different things, but there is something to that, is that this offense at its best has been really good and really dominant and can stand up with other offenses from around the league. But one critique that you can look at and say is there's too many peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
There's way too many peaks and valleys with this team. You look at the first half production. You can go game by game, and this group just needs to compete or perform at that elite level that they're capable of every single week. That should be the expectation or the ask if you're looking at critiques of this offense.
I need to say one more thing here about Greg. When you've been a producer, I was a producer for how long? 13 years. There's a certain group of national reporters that you come to rely on over the years where you know if you reach out to them, they'll at least text you back and they'll be nice about it. And some of them will even come on regularly. Greg's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Seems like a good guy.
Great, great, great Greg guy. Next.
I feel bad for pulling that whole thing apart now.
Why?
What do you mean?
He's such a great guy.
He's not that great.
No, you know what it is.
I went in on his take.
He's not so great a guy that you can't rip that, you know,
rip
what he said.
You can always have a lot of...
But I really don't feel that.
Half of what's great about sports talk is the debates that you get into. And Greg isn't alone in his feeling. A lot of people feel that way. And really what it is everyone in sports likes talking about what you would do with those, like that tool, what you would do with that job, what you would do with that team, what you would do if you were that quarterback, how you would run that offense, because the possibilities are endless with so many teams, and there's so many frustrations that come out of it for fans, and it's a natural conversation that happens in sports, and guys like Greg, you know, they do their interviews, and he said it in there, he feels bad because it's all a hypothetical, but he's talking about someone real and someone's real job, but those are conversations that everyone has in sports. About the philosophy of a team. To me, it's the most fascinating conversation about the Seahawks, about the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, about anything.
And imagining somebody else coming in here and saying to Russell, hey, man, I want you to cook. That's something that we all, you know, want to see so badly,
yeah.
Jake. Sorry.
Yeah, we do.
It's like me just saying, you know, just cook. Just what do you mean, Stace? You know what I mean. Like, just cook. Just go out there and just cook. You know what I mean?
Which quarterback is going to completely change his ways next season, and do you believe it? We'll see. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
The injury report is brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. It looks like both of these teams are mostly healthy. I know George Kittle's been dealing with some ailments the past couple of weeks. He'll be ready to go. And at least, you know, sometimes you get those Super Bowls. I remember there was one, I think it was the second time the Giants played the Patriots. Like Rob Gronkowski wasn't healthy. There was one where he didn't play at all. You want to see the stars of each team playing in these games. And there's no superstars missing from these games that we can think of, right?
Not that I can think of. But, I mean, I feel like most of the time players will say, I'm not missing it. Like Cam Chancellor played with a partially torn MCL, right? Or completely torn. I can't remember.
Richard Sherman was in crutches by the time
that
Super Bowl ended.
Yeah. I mean, I think guys will, it's just the adrenaline gets you, and it'll take something monumental for them to miss this game.
Baker Mayfield says he's A, mended fences with Rex Ryan, and B, he's going to change his ways next season. He says he was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. Look, these are young men we're talking about. Sometimes I feel like we go, or at least I'll just say for me, I go a little overboard in putting too much stock in what a 22 or 23 or 24-year-old man says and does. I remember how I was when I was that age. I was no better than Baker Mayfield. In fact, I was probably a heck of a lot worse. So maybe he doesn't deserve as much criticism from us as he gets. But if he says he's going to stop talking as much on social media and stop responding to everybody as much as he does and focus more on football, good for him.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when he actually does stop doing that. And I think that maybe is part of the demand from Kevin Stefanski. I think maybe this is, you know, the first time that he sat down with him and said, okay, all right, Baker, look, this is what I see. This is what I see coming from the outside, and this is what I'm not going to accept as your new head coach, your new offensive play caller, and the guy that's going to have the most say around what happens with you. And I think for Baker, this probably was a maturing process. You know, his whole career, in terms of his football life, he's been able to overcome the odds, and he's wanted to the entire way pound his chest and let everybody know how wrong they were for doubting Baker Mayfield, for him being a walk-on, for him having to transfer from Texas Tech and go to Oklahoma and work his way back up, from everybody doubting him and then becoming a first-round pick and going to the Cleveland Browns and all these different things. He's always been a guy that's wanted to pound his chest and point to everybody else and say, see, I'm proving you wrong all along the way. So I hope that he's on this maturation process and that it actually comes to, you know, fruition, because for him, he's his own worst enemy, in my opinion. Baker Mayfield doesn't make it in this league because of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, in the interview, Baker Mayfield still says he's going to stay true to who he is, so he's still going to be a guy that has a little bit of edge. He's not going to come out and be someone who's a guy that always tries to find a way to say the right thing. A guy like Russell Wilson, who I can't think of a time said something controversial in a press conference or called out someone on Twitter. I would predict that what Baker has in mind for himself is, I might still make a sarcastic remark at a press conference and I'm still going to be kind of in your face and fired up, but I'm not going to get into any Twitter fights.
Well, I'm with Jake on that one, though. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get into fewer, but
yeah,
not none.
Maybe they can do a fine system, like how the Seahawks tight ends had a fine system. They can do, like, for every Twitter fight, you have to donate, like, $50,000 to charity.
$50,000?
Well, then don't get in Twitter fights.
Yeah, that would be a lot. But I just have a hard time seeing Baker Mayfield not go after Colin Cowherd. I just think Cowherd just continuously pokes at him, and it would be too hard for him to resist. But the other thing is, look, there were times for Baker Mayfield, and if Danny O'Neill was going to go out and criticize Russell Wilson for saying what he said about roster decisions, I mean, let's talk about the fact that Baker Mayfield, in a press conference, called out the training staff, his own training staff, and said that they didn't handle a situation right, and did not say it in a nice way whatsoever, not in an accidental way. He made a point to call out within his own organization. I mean, those are things as a franchise quarterback that is over the line. That is, like, so far past the line, I can't even begin to tell you. And those are things that, as your franchise quarterback, you don't even have – that shouldn't even be in your headspace at that point for a guy who's struggling, throwing as many picks and creating as many turnovers as he was in this past season. So hopefully, you know, for the Browns' sake and for him, that he has a different attitude and different outlook moving forward, because you can't repeat what last year was all about.
I want to ask you guys if this behavior is over the line. We have a coworker. I'm not going to say who it is right this second. Maybe we will in a minute here. We have a coworker in our office who didn't inform anybody that he's been married for a month. Is that weird?
This is a very private person.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say. He's not like a mouse in there.
No. He doesn't love a ton of attention, which is why it's a great idea that we're talking about him on air. What I'm more upset about is we made plans, wedding planning plans, outside of his own permission, where we struck a deal with ESPN's Brady Henderson that we could have the wedding on Brady's boat. And in return, Brady would be allowed to officiate the wedding, which he can do, but also Jake can do it. So both Brady and Jake were going to officiate the wedding.
Yep.
I was going to rent an Australian shepherd to be the ring bearer.
I've got one.
Then I'll use yours.
It sounds like you were doing all the wedding planning here, Stacey.
This is the reason Brent
yes,
did
I was.
It. He didn't want you to take over.
I have lots of great ideas. I don't see what the problem is. It was going to be an amazing wedding.
Well, that is true, especially if I was doing the officiating. I am ordained, by the way, and have performed. I have officiated over a wedding. One of my good friends, my wife's friends that became close friends of mine, but... you know, I mean, hey, to each his own.
No,
I mean,
Brent
just missed out on a great show.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's what Jake walked by the office, and Brent said, I would have loved, what did you say? I would have loved to see it, man, you officiate a wedding.
Yeah, I said, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, Brent, doesn't look like you would have.
Brent Stecker.
Jeez, a Woo! Month he went without telling
That's
anybody?
Crazy. A
we
month.
All found out today.
Yeah.
We all found out 2 hours ago.
Oh, and here's how he dropped it. In the middle of conversation, he said, he was talking about, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. He said, yeah, my wife said this or my wife did that. And everybody's like, what do you mean your wife?
So what we're saying, though, as supportive coworkers and not people who put our friends on blast, is that congratulations to Brent.
Brent.
Very awesome. We're very happy for you.
Brent yeah, Stecker.
A month later, we didn't know about it, and that's okay.
Also, congratulations.
And you missed out on an opportunity to have me officiate.
It's and we are.
It's okay.
And I'm, we're all very
I am
happy.
Not offended.
Okay. You're ordained to officiate just marriages or other ceremonies, too?
Marriages at this point in time.
Does anyone else want to get married? You could text in. I mean,
yeah, if you want me to officiate your wedding, I mean, there is a long, long waiting list. But
we've got an open boat and a dog ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, we'll figure it out.
Brent just texted.
Oh, he did?
I'll read it during the break.
Okay. All right, well, coming up next, Jake and Stacy managed to speak with Michael Bumpus this morning. We're going to hear that next. I was not present because I was, you know, an idiot this morning.
It's
oversleeping.
Okay.
That feeling of oversleeping.
It's the worst.
Oh, and it wasn't like I overslept by hours and hours, but I looked at it. I was like, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to make it. I was in the middle of an awful nightmare when I woke up.
Was the nightmare that you missed work?
No.
The worst is when you wake up naturally and you have a brief moment of feeling so refreshed because you didn't wake up by an alarm. And then you are horror struck when you realize, I didn't wake up with
yep.
an alarm.
Just imagine, Tom, if you had that feeling knowing that if you were late, that you were going to have a workout to follow after that, that, you know, Mike Salk or Kyle Brown were going to put you through a horrific workout the next day at 5 a.m.
What?
That's the life of a college football player.
What are you telling me? That because I'm not a college football player, I don't know what it's like to.
No, I'm just saying add to that. That would, it just is, it's a horrible feeling.
All right. Well, you guys talk to Michael Bumpus. Anything good from him?
Oh, there's some good stuff.
Some good stuff.
Was he his usual dynamite self on
yes.
Friday? Okay,
yes.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
You'll like it.
710 ESPN Seattle.